101.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show. In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Hey everybody, welcome to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1 The Sports Animal, streaming live 99.1thesportsanimal.com and on the free WNMO mobile app on your smart speakers or wherever you happen to be listening to us. Really appreciate you joining us. I'm Vince Ferrara, weekly MMA here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and all over the globe, wherever you can get us digitally. And the co-host of this show is the matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. He is Tim Loy. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vince. I'm excited to dive into this pay-per-view here today. We got a lot to cover.
We do. Full preview of UFC 260 in Vegas on the way. We'll look back on UFC Vegas 22 from last week, the recap, aftermath, winners and losers, all that kind of fun stuff. And there's a lot of stories going on in the sports. So we're interviewless today. We got to get into some of the big stories happening and the upcoming calendar, which is changing as well. So let's jump into our big three stories in the sport. We start with Khabib Nurmagomedov, truly retired. Dana White says he is done. He's talked to him. Dana White sat next to Khabib for the last UFC Vegas 22. He says that he is convinced he's done and complimented him and everything. That's now spun off a Chandler versus Oliveira fight for that vacant belt. We'll start with the Khabib portion of it. Tim, what's your reaction to this?
Originally, when we heard Khabib would be retiring, I was of the mindset that he would be back and that there would, you know, he's just kind of waiting for the scene to simmer and to make something that was interesting to him. But this time I think I may believe him. I think, you know, we've had a lot of talk from Dana where he was pushing hard for various Khabib fights and, you know, it just didn't seem to raise his interest. So it does seem like he's happy in this new coach's role. We're seeing so many of his fighters doing well in the UFC, and he's really pushing Makhachev and so many of these guys that he's behind them. I really think he's starting to embrace that coach's role. He's still at most of the events getting, you know, rubbing elbows with the big dogs. So, why go get punched in the face when you can live on the other side of things, right?
Well, and keep that O in the loss column, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let the legend live on, and it only grows in the future. And look, if that's his choice right now, I'm with you. I believe him more now than I did initially, but never say never, especially in fight sports.
Oh, yeah. You know, the longer that he's at the events and still on the scene and he sees these big fights happening, you may still see him, come back out of the woodwork. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but you're right. Never say never.
Yeah, let Conor McGregor walk up to him and get in his face. See if that doesn't change things.
Yeah, or, you know, you could see Islam Makhachev getting to a bigger fight maybe down the road, there being some controversy involved. Maybe he loses to one of these guys, and that kind of fuels the fire a little bit.
Very interesting. All right. So with that, it was announced that it'll be Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira for that vacant featherweight belt. That will be at UFC 262 as the headliner for that pay-per-view, May 15th. What do you think about these two being the guys? As you know, Tim, these have been guys that have been in that group in the lightweight division that have been talked about as those contenders for Khabib or just against each other for the lightweight strap in matchmaking. They've already taken Khabib down from the website. He is not listed as the champ anymore. He was still till recently. So that's blank now. And so Michael Chandler, who's the fourth ranked contender, and Charles Oliveira, the third ranked contender, those are the two that are getting a title shot. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great fight. I think Oliveira is deserving. There was talk that it was going to be Justin Gaethje. I saw a story where Gaethje more or less was preparing to fight Chandler for the title. And then the next day he saw that they were going the direction of Oliveira. So I probably from a fan perspective would have been a little more excited for Chandler Gaethje, but this is still a fine fight. Oliveira is, you know, I don't have an argument against Oliveira getting this opportunity. But I do think I like Michael Chandler still here, and maybe we see Chandler Gaethje next, you know.
I'm with you. I think these two guys are deserving. I'm honestly a little bit surprised that they went in that direction. A guy in Oliveira that is underappreciated and maybe doesn't bring the fanfare and the sizzle that the UFC would typically be drawn to. And then Michael Chandler, who is still a newcomer to the UFC, not to the sport, but to the UFC. I don't think Conor McGregor should have been in that spot, but I honestly wouldn't have been surprised they would have stuck him in that position.
Because not
his draw ability.
No, not at all. I think that they'll likely hope that he wins a trilogy with Poirier, and they can still kind of build towards that. It's there to be had. But, you know, maybe it's kind of a situation where, you know, Oliveira, there is no denying him at this point. He seems pretty steadfast that he's not fighting unless he's getting a title fight. So maybe they're like, let's just go ahead and do this, you know, get it out of the way a little bit. Because otherwise, if you do Chandler or Gaethje now, then that just leaves Oliveira sitting on the sideline still. I say, you know, most likely they want to see Chandler win this so they can get to Chandler and Gaethje and then potentially Conor next.
Well, Tim, let me ask you, with a vacant belt, is it easier to put someone that is maybe in the view as a promotion or the fans that might be a little bit more questionable on whether they would draw or be the right person in that position to hold a belt? Isn't it easier to do it with the vacant belt versus the one chosen to be a title challenger to an existing belt on someone?
100% it is. You know, obviously for the, you know, the easy answer is you've got two slots to fill instead of one. But when you've got a champion that's already kind of your reigning champion, if you will, then there is a pecking order that forms, and you have to kind of build a rivalry up. You have to kind of create, you know, a promotion for it, if you will, to where people are excited for it. When you've got a vacant title, then you've got a little more creativity you can use.
I think it's so interesting that when this first happened and there was talk of whether Habib would come back and there was all the pairing up of fighters, I felt like Oliveira might have been the one guy left out of the equation, right? Out of all those guys being discussed. And now he goes from maybe being out of the mix in the matchmaking to being in that title fight for the vacant belt.
100%, man. You know, I would not have been surprised if they'd skipped over him at all. You know, at the end of the day, you know, he has earned it. He's on such an incredible streak coming off a huge win. I think that, you know, he's due, and they will, you know, they're going to grant him this opportunity here. It makes it a lot easier, like we just said, when it's vacant and he doesn't have to kind of like jump over guys or so many guys, you know, to be in the position.
He's Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. It's in the Cage MMA Radio weekly 1 hour MMA talk here on 99.1 The Sports Animal in Knoxville. All right. Our second in our big three stories is the scratched co-main event for this weekend's UFC 260 pay-per-view. Alexander Volkanovski is no longer going to defend his title against Brian Ortega. Very unfortunate. Volkanovski was going to defend his featherweight strap against the number two contender in Ortega. COVID-19 clipping this one from us really hurts this card, but man, what an unbelievable fight that hopefully we'll get to see at some point, but we won't get to see this weekend.
Yeah, bummer, huh? I was certainly disappointed to hear that. I, you know, great main event still, but I was more excited for this co-main event, to tell you the truth, as far as my own anticipation goes for this card. It certainly hurts the overall quality of the card. We go from kind of having, you know, two super fight main and co-main, definitely worthy of pay-per-view, to, you know, great main event. But again, you're back with a pretty top-heavy card. It's not as fleshed out as what we were just treated to.
Well, Tim, we kind of described this card already last week as top heavy, thinking Volkanovski and Ortega were going to fight. Yeah. Now it's top heavy with one fight. Tyron Woodley in the past used to be worthy of main event or co-main event, but on his slide, he's not against a 10th ranked contender in his slide that he's on right now. It doesn't mean it won't be a good card, but it definitely suffers this weekend.
It certainly makes that $70 price tag a little more. You got to think about it a little bit more than having both of those big title fights. And you're right about Woodley, man. I think that, you know, I didn't have a problem with him being on the pay-per-view card. You know, I thought he's still on that level. But a co-main event on a big one like this is certainly a drop off from what we had.
Our third in our big three stories in the sport, and this is regional, but still national as well, as it was announced this week, Kat Zingano will fight for Bellator at 256. She's on the card against Olivia Parker from KMAA. Liv Parker and her unbelievable story, getting another opportunity on the national level with Bellator. What do you think about Liv's opportunity against one of the big names in the sport through the years in Kat Zingano?
It's a big one, man. Huge opportunity. At this point, I can't imagine that Olivia could possibly get a bigger opportunity. Even getting signed to the UFC, she wouldn't be fighting a fighter with the name and the star power of a Kat Zingano. So huge opportunity for Liv. I'm very excited for her. I heard about this a couple weeks ago, and I know that she's probably had a hard time keeping that under her hat till now. But, you know, it's coming up soon. We're only a couple weeks out from that now, and she'll come in as a big underdog, I'm sure, as you know, she knows as well, but a very, very big opportunity. If she can upset the apple cart here, knock off Kat Zingano, she can kind of make her own way into that, right in immediately, honestly, into like another big fight that starts to build towards a title potentially.
Kat Zingano has a win over Amanda Nunes a long time ago, but that's a kind of accomplished fighter that Liv Parker will face. But with that, as difficult as it will be to beat a fighter on that level, comes opportunity to shock the world and make a massive name for yourself.
Oh, yes. You know, they're already in, you know, the storyline here, if you're following Bellator's lead anyway, is that Zingano gets this win. And then they shove her in towards a fight with Champ, Cyborg, you know. Yep. Obviously, Olivia is going to have something else to say about that. And like I just said, if she can go in there and she can knock off Kat Zingano, she steals all that thunder. And then she's, you know, I don't even think I'm out of line saying a win like that puts you one or two fights away from fighting Cyborg.
No doubt. And Olivia Parker and Kat Zingano, very close in age. Zingano's 38, Liv Parker's 39. We've talked about what a great story and all the weight loss that Liv Parker has had. Teacher in Knox County, just an unbelievable person and an inspirational fighter. And she will get Kat Zingano. That will be at Bellator 256, April 9th at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. We'll talk more about that as we get a little bit closer to the fight. That's our big three stories in the sport on In the Cage MMA Radio. We will look back on UFC Vegas 22 winners and losers, much more from last Saturday's card. We'll break it down next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview, letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport. In the Cage.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal. He is Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge. I am Vince Ferraro. We will get to our preview of this Saturday's pay-per-view, UFC 260, Stipe versus Ngannou 2. That is coming up in about 20 minutes, so hang tight with that. Time for us to look back on UFC Vegas 22 from this past Saturday. Main event, Derek Brunson defeats Kevin Holland. Unanimous decision, 49-46. Man, all the talking of Kevin Holland, his unbelievable 2020, the talk of his charisma, of him being on the rise, got up to number 10 in the middleweight division with Brunson at 7. Holland the favorite in this one against the vet Derek Brunson, but Brunson continues on his win streak. Tim, what'd you make of the way this one went down?
Just bizarre, really, to tell you the truth. Now, first off, congrats to Derek Brunson. He fought a very smart fight, didn't get lured into the nonsense. Several years back, Derek Brunson was more apt to engage in all that and kind of throw caution to the wind, but he really just never entertained it. And, you know, Kevin Holland, I don't know if it was a thing where he either thought that maybe by doing all the talking, he would throw Brunson off of his game, A, or B, he would gain a lot of fans, maybe, you know, that the public would enjoy that, and that he would get more fans and stay, and win or lose, kind of stay in the bigger fights. That's all I can really think of here, but his takedown defense is not on the level. Brunson just kind of had a nice, simple game plan that he implemented repeatedly throughout the fight, and scored a less than thrilling win.
This is bottom line. It was brutal by Kevin Holland. For him to continue to talk to Habib, he's on his back. And he's talking to Habib. He's talking to people cage side. He's talking to Derek Brunson. He's just joking around. I mean, even afterwards, he didn't show that he was upset at what happened. A little bit in the corner, you caught some audio of him saying, trying to avoid, I guess, a takedown. He's like, I'm trying. But it doesn't seem like he really respects what he's doing or the people around him that are trying to help him. But who knows how much they've enabled him. I get you want to be loose and charismatic and stuff, but Tim, at some point you have to show some want to and you have to get serious. I didn't think he was serious in that. And so I think if he was using that approach to try to gain fans, I bet he turned a lot of people off because of how little he took that from a serious standpoint in that fight.
100%. And honestly, in the moments that he could keep it standing, he did tag Brunson with some pretty good shots. So one has to wonder if he, you know, just some more focus and more, you know, movement and just not, using whatever percentage or portion of your brain power and energy he used for the talk to go into his strategy, who knows what would have happened. His claim to fame on the night was he did take Derek Brunson down in the fifth round, and that was the first time Brunson had ever been taken down. That's okay. Congrats. But I mean, I just don't feel like you can walk out of the fight feeling like that was that great an accolade when you were dominated like that. He's unapologetic too. It's not like he really regrets what he did. He said he's going to talk, and if you don't like it, you can take a hike, more or less. But Dana wasn't impressed.
Well, that's the key. His charisma scored points when he was winning, but with Dana White and with fans. But when you lose and you still talk and don't act like you're trying to win the fight, which is the purpose of it all, that's when it's not good for business. He may think that's good for business. It's not good for business because you have to deliver, and it makes all of what's at stake for these fighters. He diminishes that by messing around like he does in there and not looking like he truly cares about winning. Whether that's a reality or not, his act does that, and that's not good for the UFC.
Yeah, perception is reality, right? Yeah. You know, it doesn't really matter if it's reality, if all the people watching at home perceive it as such. So, he was in a main event opportunity. That was a big stage for him to go towards a title fight. You know, Adesanya was kind of talking him up. So now all that is certainly out the window. And Brunson, congrats to him. He breaks into the top five now and should get a big fight. You know, most of the guys at the top are kind of booked up, but Jared Cannonier, I guess, kind of makes the most sense, I think, next for him. A win over Cannonier would put him up in the top three at that point, I would imagine. What do you think?
Well, he called out Paulo Costa. Is that too big of a reach, or what if Costa loses his next fight?
Well, Costa, I think, is down with some sort of COVID effects, so he's not fighting anytime soon, he says. I mean, he's not well. So, he just pulled out of the fight that he was supposed to be in, remember? And then was replaced by Kelvin Gastelum, right? So, he's kind of on the shelf. So really, Cannonier is really the only option as far as something that could come to fruition here relatively quickly.
Yeah, and Brunson has moved up to number four in the rankings. He jumped up three spots. You know, Kevin Holland didn't move from 10, which is interesting. But
he talked about going to 170.
I'm glad you brought up Israel Adesanya, because I thought about this during a fight, and then we'll move on from this. There's that comparison. Well, Adesanya, he's a showman, and he's loose, and he talks and things like that. Adesanya, there's no comparison, not just in ability, but Israel Adesanya has this tremendous laser focus in seriousness. He wants to dominate you. That is more important than entertaining people. The entertaining part of it and the showman part of it, that's after the fight.
Or even before.
Exactly. But not during. I mean, he does it with style, so there's still some flair that's appealing. He doesn't have that take away from what he's doing in the octagon in those minutes of the fight. And Kevin Holland did. Just really disappointing. He should take the lead of Adesanya. Talk all you want, Nolita, but man, you better deliver and you better be focused on what you're doing in there. And that was really disappointing for Kevin Holland after a really good 2020 overall. Co-main event, Max Griffin made short work of Son Kanaan. First round KO, 2 minutes, 20 seconds. What'd you make of the co-main?
You know, really nice finish for Max Griffin. He was fortunate to be able to be the co-main event when, you know, the co-main event fell out last minute. And man, I was really excited for that one. But hopefully we get to see that still. That said, Griffin took advantage of the opportunity. A big 1-2 knockout over Son Kanaan, who had not really fought the best level of competition up until this point. Griffin strings together 2 wins in a row, calls out Jeff Neal, and he wants to do it in Houston down there in Jeff Neal territory. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that fight, honestly.
Is that the best option for him moving forward?
No, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't know that it does much for Neal, you know, because right. I mean, Griffin's not really had a lot of traction here still as far as a sustained success. But, you know, it would be a great opportunity for him to be up towards the top of the card in an action fight. Him and Neal would be a war.
Masara Cuneo, she got the win via unanimous decision over Cheyenne Bays, part of a husband-wife duo, both on the card. We'll get to JP in a minute. But man, at the end, Tim, Cuneo was standing over talking smack at Bays, and Bays shoved her off, and she got the "you're number one" sign back from Cuneo in return. And those two had to be separated and didn't show any love to each other afterwards. What'd you think of that fight?
Well, I thought that was the most exciting part of the fight. You know, the fight itself was lackluster, and I think that was where a lot of the heat came from. It was Cheyenne Bays couldn't stop that same head throw that was thrown at her by Ruiz every round. Just every time she would just grab that headlock, toss her over, and just work that headlock position, kind of working towards the scarf hold. It was like a little mini Alexia Linick out there working for the scarf hold, and they couldn't make the adjustments necessary, you know. So, you know, you can hate on Ruiz for making it a boring fight, but hey, she came in here on short notice as a late replacement. She did what she had to do to get the win. If Bays didn't like her methods, then she needed to make the adjustments to not get taken down the exact same way every time.
And she had the advantage in the stand-up. She just couldn't keep
on. Yeah, she was lighting her up on the feet for sure. Now, Cornejo, though, she's a bit of a character, isn't she? You know, she's all tatted up from head to toe. She's wears the bunny ears at the weigh-ins, and obviously she's a bit of a heel on top of it all. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with her next.
Adrian Yanez against Gustavo Lopez. Yanez with a third round KO of Lopez. Lopez did a lot of talking going into the fight, and Yanez just took care of business. He looked really good, and he's on a 6-fight win streak as Yanez now.
Yanez has got hands, man. He looked good out there. He lit him up throughout the fight. You know, Lopez was game for sure. He's a durable guy. But Yanez is, you know, his star is bright. The thing is, he's in it just such a – there's so many 135 guys that we more or less say this about every week, that they're like just a prospect to watch. It's loaded with killers.
Tim, we called it. The absolute mismatch of the card was Tai Tuivasa and what he did in dismantling Harry Hunsaker. I mean, 49 seconds, that's about where you could set the over-under on what that fight was going to last, right? And most of us would probably take the under.
Yeah, no doubt. The under in that fight, under 1.5, was still like minus 285. And so you weren't fooling anybody. But, you know, props to Harry Hunsaker for getting the call up. He takes it on short notice. He's in a rough spot there without really getting to prepare for a guy in Tuivasa, who is, you know, an experienced UFC vet at this point. Tuivasa, to his credit, man, was landing those leg kicks, and they were hurting Harry. Harry was noticeably affected by those calf kicks, and it kind of forced him into a brawl. And that's what Tuivasa wants, is that brawl.
Then on the undercard, a couple of the winners, Macy Chasson beat Marion Renault, Grant Dawson over Leonardo Santos, Trevin Giles beat Roman Dolidze, Montel Jackson destroyed Jesse Strader, and Bruno Silva beat JP Bays. What jumped out to you about the undercard?
I thought Chaisson was slow to start. I thought that Renaud may get that after the first round. I thought she got the first round. But then she popped her really early in the second round and probably broke her nose. And that kind of derailed Renaud from there. So it's a nice win for Chaisson. Really good win for Grant Dawson over Leonardo Santos, who has been, low-key undefeated for a decade. it was a real good win for him.
2009 was the last loss. Sorry, 2009 was his last loss.
Absolutely. And Grant Dawson was down, arguably, going into that last round. It was close. It was super close. And more or less, Santos got lazy there in an exchange and going for a leg, and Dawson just hammered him. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Other than that, Montel Jackson, real nice win over Jesse Strader, did what he's supposed to do there. And Bruno Silva fought like his job was on the line. It probably was, as he was winless in the UFC, but he really brought the fight to JP Bays and upset the apple cart there.
Silva trains with Henry Cejudo, so that's really nice for him. And then Grant Dawson calling out Clay Guida. He said, hey Clay, let's do this. I fought two guys from your camp and beat them, so I'm ready to do it to you as well.
That's kind of lame.
Two guys
call out Clay Guida. That's a step down from, in my opinion, that's a step down from Leonardo Santos.
Guida's got the name. That's what he's just trying to do, is add that to his resume. Winners and losers, Tim. Give me your winner and loser, and then I'll fill in with mine.
I'll pick the low-hanging fruit and go with Derek Brunson for my winner. It catapults him into the top five, as we previously stated. Probably one good win away from being back in the title talks there. And I don't know that he's ever had a title. I think he's never had a title opportunity. So he's really kind of come into his own since he has switched over to Sanford MMA. And a big win for him. Biggest loser, I'm going to go with both the couple, JP and Cheyenne Bays. A lot of hype coming in on this. Both of those guys, both of the couple were favorites, fairly decent favorites in their fights, and but neither one of them able to get the job done against not really top level competition.
My winner, we talked about it, Max Griffin. He was one of the biggest talking points coming out of this event, Vegas 22. A lot of people were talking about how impressive Max Griffin was, and if he does get that Jeff Neal fight or get on that Houston card, he wants to come back quickly. It was a short fight for him, so he didn't take any damage, and obviously showed the power, especially with that right hand. He set it up so beautifully with the jab. I think Max Griffin was really impressive with that nickname Pain. And then my loser, Kevin Holland. When you're on that fast track, if he has a dominant performance over Derek Brunson, whether you look at him as a gatekeeper or not, I think that continues that skyrocket of Kevin Holland's status. I think he lost a ton of momentum. He didn't lose a spot in the rankings, but when Dana White's not impressed with you, that's not a good thing for business. All right, we're going to get a full card preview of the UFC pay-per-view on Saturday, 260 in Vegas. We'll break it down next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers. This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
We are back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1, the Sports Animal, alongside Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. We will throw up the podcast shortly after our show is over. We're on our new night, of course, as you found us here tonight, Thursday nights, 8 to 9, as we throw that podcast up on our website at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can go to either the show tab or the audio tab. You can find all our past shows there. There's some special separate interviews that we've done on the show there as well, and you can find that on the website. All the archives are there for you together. You can listen to them on the website anytime you want to go back and revisit. Or you could subscribe to the podcast either on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe to In the Cage MMA Radio. And then whenever that podcast hits, we will drop it, update it, and you can listen to it, subscribe to it, rate it, share it, and tell all your friends about the weekly MMA radio show here in Knoxville, Tennessee. UFC fighters, big time broadcasters, people in the business, and then of course a lot of regional terrific up and coming stars that you have and will see on the national level as well through Valor Fighting Challenge. So make sure you subscribe, follow Tim on Facebook at Tim Loy. Look for him there, as well as Valor Fighting Challenge. You can follow me on Twitter at Vince Sports. So hit us up, give us your feedback. feedback, anything you want us to cover on the show. It's preview segment time, so let's get to the pay-per-view on Saturday, UFC 260 in Vegas. The early prelims will start at 7 p.m. on the UFC Fight Pass with two fights, then prelims on ESPN and ESPN Plus at 8 p.m. with four fights, and then a five-fight main card starting at 10 p.m. on ESPN Plus on pay-per-view. And of course, the main event is Stipe Miocic. The champ Stipe will defend his title against number one contender for that heavyweight belt, Francis Ngannou. Both guys at three losses. This is the second time they're doing it, Tim, but Francis was much earlier in his career, better fighter. Has he improved enough to beat the champ?
I think it's very, very possible he has. You know, a lot has changed since the last time they fought. He had the subpar performance against Lewis right after, but then he's ran off four first round knockouts in a row over very, very tough competition. So, it's very, very possible. I think he's got to let it go. You know, he can't get out there and be hesitant, I think, because Stipe is going to have the advantage in the wrestling and on the ground and can certainly handle himself standing as well.
Well, Stipe loves this role, right? The champ. Yeah. Being the underdog, that's what he absolutely thrives in, that role, and loves it. And he's back in that position again. What kind of dog is Stipe?
Well, right now, it's essentially a pick'em. Stipe at plus 100 with Francis at minus 120. But Francis opened as a more sizable favorite. It's just the money's coming in on Stipe, which has started to close it into more or less even money.
So what's your official fight prediction?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with Francis. It's bit me before, whenever he stepped up in these moments. But I'm hoping that he's matured as a fighter and he's going to go out there and he's going to let it go. And he's got the power, if not the technique, he's got the power to shut the lights out on anyone. So I'm going to go with Francis with trepidation.
You've seen Francis talk about in packages working on his wrestling game. He's become obsessed with it, things like that. But man, it's about the power with him. And if he catches Stipe, but Stipe is so crafty, so intelligent, one of the best of all time for a reason. Francis, I'm worried if Stipe is on top of me and he's in that position, because you neutralize the power, obviously, use up the gas tank. So that's my concern for Francis Ngannou. But the power is so tremendous. And I think he's improved in not over exuding himself to get himself in those positions, kind of like Kevin Holland was doing. Kevin Holland was just all wild and crazy. He ended up getting himself taken down by Brunson. That's what Ngannou can't do, in trying so hard to knock out Stipe that he opens the door for Stipe to take him down and smother him and chew up rounds that way.
Yeah, 100%. That's certainly a well-founded concern, and that could very well be how it plays out. Like you just said, the power is just so is fight changing, and all the rounds start on the feet. So I think he's going to have opportunities to connect as long as he commits to it and isn't too tentative.
And my official pick is Francis Ngannou as well. You and I have been on that side for a while. I think you're like me, where getting a little bit closer to it, a little bit dicier now. Not as much conviction, right, than we had a while back.
Yeah. I feel like a month ago we were a lot more sure of this.
Yes. We're sure that the pay-per-view isn't as good without Volkanovski and Ortega, one of four fights that has dropped off. We're also supposed to see a 205 fight between Johnny Walker and Jimmy Crude. 115 women's bout, Randa Markos against Luana Pinheiro was dropped. And then also a heavyweight bout as Blagoy Ivanov against Marcin Tybura was dropped. Also some injuries, some COVID. Tyron Woodley, 7th ranked welterweight, is taking on 10th ranked welterweight Vicente Luque. What's now the main event. We talked about Woodley slide a little bit. Luque is always fun to watch in game. How do you size this one?
Man, this one is interesting. As a co-main event, it's less than stellar, but they've got Luque as a deserving favorite. He's minus 250, but I don't like that price, because if you look at Woodley's Instagram, he's in shape, man. He's in really good shape. He's coming off two lackluster losses, but those are losses to the top of the division, Colby Covington. He's really fought just on a completely different level of opponent than Vicente Luque. Now, Luque could go out there and knock him out for sure, but Woodley's wrestling, if he can execute it, certainly has a recipe Bieber victory at plus 200 or better.
Also on the main card, Thomas Almeida, 22-4 against the Sugar Show. Sean O'Malley, 12-1, no longer undefeated, and the man, bantamweight. What do you expect to see from O'Malley this time around?
Well, you know, he, in his mind, he's still undefeated. He doesn't claim that last one. He said it was a fluke. And so my concern is, you know, O'Malley's had a leg injury now in two of his last five fights. And Almeida is, you know, a very good kickboxer himself. One would have to imagine he's going to target those calf kicks here to not only slow down an, O'Malley's movement, but potentially compromise him as it's been done in the past. So at minus 320, I can't lay that kind of juice with O'Malley here. It's probably a pass, to tell you the truth, because Almeida is live. At one time, you know, Almeida was thought to be a very hot prospect in line for the title. He's just fell upon rough times as of late. I think there's just too many unanswered questions with O'Malley.
Interesting. Also on the main card, you have 15th ranked women's flyweight Jillian Robertson, 9-5 against 8-2 Miranda Maverick. Quick thought on that one.
This is an interesting fight, actually. I think that both these ladies have their strengths, but I think that Maverick's a little more well-rounded. If Robertson can get her to the ground, she probably has the better jiu-jitsu, but Maverick's wrestling is so good and her striking's better, so I like Miranda Maverick.
Jamie Mullarkey takes on Kama Worthy. Mullarkey's 12-4. Worthy is 16-7 in a lightweight bout. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, it's going to be a firefight. These guys are not like, you know, they're mid to lower division lightweights, but they bring it, man. And so this fight, you know, Worthy's a very slight favorite, as he probably should be. I mean, this is going to be a firefight, and both these guys, you know, their chins are going to get checked.
There's a lot of slight favorites on this card, right? The prelims bring that at Minifield and Knight in a light heavyweight bout. Knight is a slight minus 112 favorite over Minifield. We could see some fireworks in that one too, right?
Yeah, actually. And then I'm kind of talking myself into this card here as we go through it. But yeah, man, Minifield and Knight are both heavy hitters with questionable gas tanks. So tread lightly here.
Then Jessica Penne, 12-5 against Hannah Goldie at 5-1, women's strawweight bout. Again, slight favorite, Goldie at minus 125.
Man, you know, Goldie to me is hardly UFC level. Hasn't been very impressive so far. I'm a little surprised she's the favorite here, slightly over Penne, who's a former Invicta champion. But she's been out for 4 years with USADA issues. So that's the big question mark, is what does she look like coming back? I think under typical circumstances, then Penne should be the favorite.
Then you got Jared Gooden, 17-5 against Abubakar Nurmagomedov, welterweight bout. Nurmagomedov is 15-3-1, minus 235. That's one of the bigger favorites other than O'Malley on the entire card, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, Nurmagomedov is Khabib's cousin, and he comes from a highly touted camp and has superior grappling to Gooden. I think Gooden is probably the better athlete, more explosive. He's live in that regard, but if Nurmagomedov can get it to the ground, he should win.
The slight favorites continue as Michael Olenchechuk at 14-4 in a lightweight bout against Modestus Bukauskas, 11-3. Olenchechuk, minus 155 favorite. Do you like him there?
I think I do. This is another fight that should be pretty good. These guys are going to get at it. Olenchechuk is the guy that comes forward and slings, and Bukauskas is the same way, but his chin hasn't really held up. I think the safer bet is to go under 2.5 rounds here.
Interesting. And then the early prelim, 7 p.m. on UFC Fight Pass. You got 13-5 Shane Young, Omar Morales at 10-1. It's a featherweight bout. Morales at minus 182, Tim.
Yeah, this is one that's a little harder to get a read on, to tell you the truth. You know, Morales had a pretty good amount of hype on him before he lost his last one. Shane Young's one of your Canadian contenders, if you will. This is a hard one to call. I guess I would probably go with Morales, but yeah, this one's a tough one to get a read on.
You've got Marc-Andre Barault at 11-4 in a middleweight bout. Slight favorite over Abu Azatar is 14-2-1.
Yeah, you know, Azatar hasn't fought in 2.5 years at this point. I think that the wrestling and the power of Barault should make him the favorite that he is here. He hasn't gotten a UFC win yet. I think he breaks through here in this one.
So that is UFC 260, the pay-per-view on Saturday. You're right. You look at some of these matchups, it should be a decent card. Hopefully it outperforms maybe what some general public expectations are, but we'll have a complete recap of what happened on next week's show. Coming up, it's the MMA Lightning Round presented by Knoxville Martial Arts Academy with a look ahead to more UFC and Bellator fights on the horizon. We'll talk about those next here on In the Cage MMA Radio 99.1, the Sports Animal.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick, but we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, 99.1 The Sports Animal. It's Lightning Round time, and the Lightning Round is powered by KMAA. They offer classes for children in self-defense, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, MMA, personal training, kickboxing, yoga, and martial arts. For the in-depth training at KMAA, many students have catapulted themselves into pro careers in the UFC, Bellator, and Invicta fighting promotions. They will help you achieve your goals. Call them at 865-771-9775 or visit their website at knoxmma.com. They are located at 4201 Martin Mill Pike. Tim, got Valor Fighting Challenge coming up. The return, tell us about that card.
Yeah, we've got an all-pro show at the Joe. It's coming up next Friday, April the 2nd. We've got, as of right now, I think 13 pro bouts. Great main event. Charlie Alexander, C4, taking on Nathan Arriaga from North Carolina. That's going to be a war. Dre Miley, who we spoke with last week, is taking on a Contender Series vet and Jose Johnson. That's a really big fight. And then several of your local favorites. Tank Wilson Jr. has got his pro debut. Emily King, Bellator vet. And Big Lorenzo Hood's coming back down from Chicago as well. So a lot of big fights.
On the national scene, how about Bellator coming back and debuting in 2021, Tim, during the week off for the UFC? It's good business, right?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Big move for them and Showtime. They'll have all eyes on them that week. And, you know, we'll have to dive into that card some next week.
We will. And they're going back to Friday nights with their shows, April 2nd. Then April 9th is the show where you will see Kat Zingano and Liv Parker in action at Bellator 256. So good for them. There'll be two Bellator shows before the next UFC show, which of course will be UFC Fight Night, Till versus Vittori. On that card is our guy, Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman. We'll hopefully get Scott back on the show real soon. Then Bellator continues, Bellator 257, April 16th. Then next night, you got UFC Fight Night, Whitaker versus now Gastelum, as that one used to be Costa. Then you get PFL debuting for 2021, April 23rd, and that's Pettis versus Collard. Anthony Pettis now with PFL. And then you've got UFC 261 the night after that. Tim, that's the card that's loaded in Jacksonville with three title fights and full fan capacity in Jacksonville with Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, to Weili Zhang against Rose Namajunas and Valentina Shevchenko, Jessica Andrade. There are other good fights on that card as well. But man, we got a lot coming up, even though if it's not all dominated by the UFC.
Yeah, man, I'm super stoked for that UFC 261 card too. Just they're really pulling out all the stops for the return to full live crowds. You know, you named off three huge title fights. Also, Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall's on that card. That's a fight that was to main event its own card, you know, and it's fourth down on the list. So really, really stoked for that one. And yeah, you know, we get a week off from the UFC next week, some BFC action in our lives, and we'll turn back to the grind of the week after that.
No doubt. And the UFC will get back to those weekly shows with fight nights continuing into May. And then UFC 262, as we talked about earlier, will be the Oliveira Chandler fight for the vacant lightweight title. That will be May 15th. And I'm sure that pay-per-view will get beefed up in the weeks to come as well. Tim, awesome job as always, sir. Enjoy the pay-per-view this weekend. We'll have full breakdown and fun show scheduled for everybody next week. Appreciate you.
Yeah, likewise, Vince. Thanks.
All right, that is Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, In the Cage MMA Radio, and tell all your friends about the weekly MMA show Thursday nights, 8 to 9, here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. It's In the Cage MMA Radio. Good night.
Thanks for listening to In the Cage MMA Radio as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.